أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كان عبدا مبينا. ما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. امين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ألهمنا وسددنا. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. أضمن ربيت أفتر مي and try to understand it. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. Believe it or not, one companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he embraced Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching two du'a and he died. That's it. That's all he does in his life. He embraces Islam, he teaches one du'a, he go after 1 week, he teaches another du'a, and after 2-3 days he goes. You have to think, who told this man, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What was the first du'a he did to him after he embraced Islam? Said, Allahumma alhimni rujdi. اللهم ألهمني رشدي وأعوذ بك من شر نفسي. This dua, wallahi, is enough for us. Oh Allah, inspire me. And oh Allah, protect me of my own devil nafs. What else do you want? If Allah is inspiring you, and Allah protect you from your own nafs and your own shaitan and your own nafs, what else do you want?
Devotes our problem to be our nafs. Don't blame shaitan. Set the intention, inshaAllah. Because anything without intention is gone. It's gone. Even if you do the ultimate good deed, if you do not set intention purely to Allah, is zero. Many years ago when I started discover, I said, imagine an ummah doing and they have no intention. Do you know what it means? We finished. Without intention, we finished. And not only that, intention has to be purely to Allah, not anybody else. And wallahi, it's very difficult. If you today able to do one good deed only for Allah, you are willing. Don't ever forget that. And this one, after setting intention, you set ikhlas wa niyyah, meaning you purify your intention, you purify your own ikhlas. This is very important. I was talking to one sister today, and she reminded me about many things, very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said? He said, "Min husn al-Islam al-mar tarku ma la yarghi." From the best manner of the Muslim to leave what does not belong to him. What does it mean? Today we love to put our nose in the affair of other. We love to put our nose in the affair of other. And between the phone and visiting each other, we do plenty of mischief. And who did it? Who generated me? If I'm busy with Allah, do you think I have time for all this nonsense? No way. Do you think if really my heart is honest with Allah, do you think I have time for that? Do you think if you call me and give me nonsense, and I absorb it, do you think I am doing you? No way. I absorb my sickness in my heart. Imagine the sister tell me, so and so called me, and I did not talk to her for half an hour. Does this make sense? You do not want to talk to a person for half an hour? If I do not want to talk to you, I should kick you out in half a minute, 1 minute. Do not tell me after half an hour, I kick you out. Maybe I'm sick. I'm really sick. And I'm a liar. I'm really pure liar. Because if I'm honest, I will never allow it in the first place. Because if I'm in a state of victory, if I have the sweetness of Allah in my heart, if I have angels around me, do you think who you are to come disturb my connection with Allah? If I really have iman, if I really tell you what I have, why I send it to you? I do not understand. I must be so liar and so sick. And this is why we will have no elevation. Because we always go back to our own bad habits. But where does the bad habit come from? Shaitan. And why shaitan give it to me? Because I'm sick. My heart is sick. And if your heart is sick, please don't blame nobody, even shaitan. Don't blame except yourself, you will be a winner. And also something, please, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, listen to me carefully and don't do it. Among us as a Muslim, if I give you a task, if I give you a job, if we have an agreement between each other to do something, wonder what happened. It will never be done. And you will come to me with all kind of story. And if I try to find out what happened, she tell you, tell me, I think so, I thought so, I was thinking, maybe. Do you ask me? No. Do you verify with me? No. Do I tell you so? No. Is this what we agree about? No. Why are you doing that? Now consider this person is a woman, and this woman is a man. Do you think what kind of life between her and her husband? Tell me, النار. Imagine if every time we talk with each other and if we know it, the end of the day, everything we agree about it is not done. And you come in with a new body by your own. Do you know Islamically what it means? A betray. You betray the trust. Because once we agree about something, it's a trust. Once I talk to you about something and you tell me, inshallah, I will do, is an oath. Is an oath, you will be questioned about it. And once I tell you, inshallah, what it means, really Islamically, meaning I do my ultimate effort. Not when I want to lie or tell you, inshallah, meaning I will not do it. By this way, later on, if I tell you, you did something, you tell me, excuse me, I didn't tell you I'm going to do it. I'll give you inshallah. Do you see how it goes? But it's going from the beginning, when you say inshallah, you mean you are alive. I do not understand. Do we really have an iman? Do we really believe in Allah? Do we really believe we're going to meet Allah? Do we really believe in death? I go to our bed. Yesterday, after Zohar, I am a boy, approximately 11, 12 years old. After he made wudu, hopefully, Allah knows how he did it, he go to the, paper tower, and he did like this, a bunch. A bunch! Meaning he take at least 7, 8, not 1, not 2, not 3, believe me, not 4, but not even 5, but a bunch! And he squeeze it with him, anything, and he throw it away. I do not believe them. I believe the mother and I believe the teacher. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, if you are abusing water at all, is a makruh. If you are abusing water or anything belonging to the masjid, is a sadaqah, is a stealing, because it's the money of the Muslim. And in the day of judgment, Allah will ask you why you did it. You see my bucket? Full of paper. You know what is that? Every time I use one piece of paper, now I do not throw it away. I can dig it, I hold it until it dry, and I use it again. And all of a sudden I have plenty of paper now. You see, ignorance of topic in here is a conscience. If you deal with Allah, you are a life conscience. But if your heart is dead, you don't care. This is scary. It might be a tiny topic. It's scary. It scares me when I see Muslim is dirty, is thin, not clean, not honest, do not give your word, abusing everything, and they love to abuse the thing belong to other. Which actually, if I'm a Muslim and you give me something, I should be care about it more than mine. This is them. What knowledge we have if we do not live according to the basic teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Tell me. When I see this, right away I know something. The conscience is dead. It's not Islamic conscience. What kind of education we give to our children if they have no conscience? What kind of girls or boys in the future if they have no conscience? What kind of relationship between a husband and wife? Do you know what it means? No consideration. No consideration. Do you know what it means when you have no consideration? Meaning you're so blind. Who can make me happy and tell me why I'm blind? It's a disease. If you have it, it makes you blind. What is it? No. Ignorance is blind, but this particular area.
Selfish.
When you're selfish. Selfish equal blind. Selfish equal blind. That's why if you're selfish, you are blind. If you're selfish, you cannot think about other. If you're selfish, you're not considerate. if you start wishing to have another, but actually everybody who asks want my husband to love me. I want everybody to love me, but I do not have any consideration. Don't ever forget that. Because what generates love? Consideration. When you consider it, a person has to love you because you consider, you kind, you're generous, you are a giver, you're humble, you have a good manner, you have good conduct. Do you see how it goes? It's not at all. We love to talk and we love to listen. No! All this learning and teaching is not for listening. No! This is to comprehend it, to see where I am. And it has nothing to do with age. Wallahi, it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with you. I'm scared, Wallahi, I'm scared. I look to a nation unbelievable. Is nobody selfish more than us today? We want people to love us, but not one love people. We want people to be good to us, but we not want to be good. We want people to be considered to us, but we're not considered. You go to people's houses, you visit a Muslim today, is no consideration at all. Why are we not considered? Because the heart is dead. Because I'm so selfish. A Muslim cannot be selfish. No Muslim is selfish. Take it from me. No Muslim is selfish. A Muslim is a giver. I'm dealing with Allah. And please, all of you male and female, don't go to the floor and keep complaining about your husband. Don't complain about your husband to other. Don't complain about your wife to other. It's a betrayal. You want to complain? Complain to Allah. If you have really a question and you honest, go to another person, then it is a situation. What I have to do, and don't lie. Today, honest to Allah, 99% of the people coming to me with a question, they are a liar. They give me their honest side of the story. And they forget the other side. And if I tell the people, come on, bring the two, almost one of them is a liar, or one of them run away. Or if I bring the two, all of a sudden the whole topic changed. The whole topic changed. And the majority of the time, the person who complains, he becomes the complainer, not the victim. Don't do that. Please don't do that. I see a lot of mischief among each other. Please teach your children to be honest, to be neat. What Quran would value anybody if we're not honest and neat? If we're not clean, if we're not considerate? Tell me what kind of wife you are if you're not considerate and caring. What kind of a man you are if you're not considerate and generous and kind. Imagine if the love and the mercy is natural to our heart. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And after that, we blame everybody. I always believe without no doubt a Muslim today is the ultimate criminal on earth. Nobody criminal on earth more than us. Because we supposed to be the carrier of the message. We have a big job. We have a job. We have a duty. It's not only to be good. Yesterday we ended up with Surah Al-Fatiha. But I forget anything about Surah Al-Fatiha. But believe me, in this gathering, I'm not intending to go to all the detail. I'm just giving you glimpse. Glimpse. Just glimpse. Don't ever forget that. Because the time is running out, and I try to give you the maximum amount of clips from Quran. Now, before I forget, Surah Al-Fatiha has many names. Some of these names yesterday I did not say. Anybody remember? Some of the names we forget? MashaAllah, Ummul Kitab. The mother of the book. الفاتحة هي أم الكتاب. The mother of the book. What else?
The seven
متاني. The seven متاني. ها؟ السبع المثاني لزنين في سورة الفاتحة. سبع من سبع. المثاني in Arabic almost like the twos, it's a double. And this has a story behind it.
I'm not going through it now.
Now we decided in these classes we're going to focus in the Makki Quran. And the Makki Quran focus in the relationship between us and Allah. Because I believe there's no benefit to talk about fiqh, tafsir, revelation, ahkam, sharia, unless we have Allah in our heart. Unless we have iman, unless we know who am I, and straight my relationship between me and Allah, he's my master, I'm a slave. Unless this is distinguished and established, the rest of it will be established. Believe me, if it's established, I will never go to the bathroom and find paper on the floor. I will never go to the bathroom and find somebody abusing water. I will never go to the bathroom and find somebody abusing water, paper. No. Because you're dealing with Allah. Actually, this reminds me of a story. A story of a scholar. A scholar, big scholar. And he has a friend of his scholar too. Not a scholar, a scholar. Big scholar, teaching a lot of thousands of people. And before he died, the friend of his, he asked him, please, if you die, please ask Allah to give you permission to come to me and talk to me and tell me how he did with you. Look at these people. A week go by, nobody came to that life scholar in the dream. And almost later on, after 2 weeks, the big one, he came to him in a dream. And the life one, he talked to him in a dream and he told him, how Allah did with you? He said, Allah was so generous. He said, what happened? You are a scholar, you're teaching people. A lot of followers, you wrote books, you did a lot of good deeds. He said, you will not believe it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, it's all gift from me. I give you a gift and you won't get a reward for it. Your knowledge is mine. People who come to you is mine. All the guidance I give to people by you is mine. How you want to reward for that? He said, at this time I was whipped and I fell down. He said, after that what happened? He said, I was thinking finished. This is scholar. He did not commit too many sins. Listen to the story carefully, you learn a lot. He said, I felt I had it. I've been destroyed. He said, what Allah did with you? He said, he was generous. He told me, oh my slave servant, you have two good deeds between me and you. I have to give you the prize for them. He said, what's the eye of Allah? He said, do you remember sometime you was in a battle? I said, yes. And you was in a battle? He said, yes. And he was leaving. I said, yes. Somebody called and said, is anybody there? Is anybody can get me water? You went to win. You get the person water. And you give it to him. And you wait. Why you wait? He said, I was scared. If I leave, he will need more water. He said, who you did it for? He said, I did it for you only, Allah. He said, this is the only deed I accepted from you. Because he did it only for my pleasure. He's ready to leave. He didn't come. I have another one. I recorded for you. He said, what is it? He said, do you remember a night such and such? He said, yes, Ya Allah. He said, at this day, you cried for me. You really feared for me. He said, yes, Ya Allah. He said, this tear with the water in the bottle, this is what indeed I accepted from you. And he wrote him in paradise and he forgave his sins. And this it takes us to hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he said, لَا تُحَقِّرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't disgrace any good deed in your eyes. Don't think a good deed is too tiny, is not important. Don't do that. You never know which good deed Allah can accept it. There was a whore from Bani Israel, the prostitute from Bani Israel, the one Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, she entered paradise. Only for what? Because she was in the middle of water drink in a hot day, and a dog came. And she said, the dog is thirsty like me. Let me make him drink. Allah loved it so much because she was merciful to the dog. You see, Islam, this is Islam, my brother. We need any small deed but you to Allah. And in the meantime, don't ever do a small deed, bad deed, and think it's not important, it's not a big deed. I see today the Arabic people is drowning, not in a bad deed, in mischief. In mischief. And they say it's more. I think so. Maybe, and they destroy themselves. The Lord Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when people say about the good deed is too small, or the bad deed is too small, he said something with that effect. Did you not see the mountain? The mountain generated from hasad. The mountain is generated from a small stone. Whereas with this huge mountain, when you get closer, it's just a bunch of small stone. What about us? Who am I? Who you are? It's a bunch of small good deed or a small bunch of bad deed. Don't keep saying it's small. Sister, can you leave it alone? We did it already.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know how to do it? Okay, go ahead. Like that? Okay. Very important not to underestimate any good deed or any bad deed. There's many, many ahadith about that. If we go to Surah Al-Baqarah, I'm not going to go through it. But you remember the last five verses of Surah Al-Baqarah? One of them, it makes a companion bow and prostrate to the ground and cry. Why? وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ حَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ. If you, whatever you say, whatever hidden inside you, Allah will make it accountable in the judgment and judge you accordingly. Imagine, even if I will not say it to you, it's already written. How many of us have a lot of garbage in the heart? Look at us and look at them. One of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went around 2-3 o'clock in the morning and he knocked on the door of another brother from another side of the town. He did a journey just to go ahead in the middle of the night. And when he knocked on the door, the other companion, he asked him, who in the Lord? He said, me, so and so. He said, what do you want, emergency? He said, yes, emergency. He said, what do you want? You did something, what do you need? He said, I make a mistake against you. He said, you love me for Allah, I love you for Allah. I never see you make any mistake against me. He said, do you remember such and such a time today? He said, yes. He said, I look at you and I say something in my heart. My tongue did not say it. I say something in my heart. My tongue did not say it. He said, if your tongue is not saved, is not accountable, you are not accountable for, it will not be written. He said, did you not read what Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah? وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ حَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهُ. He said, did you not hear what Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah? Whatever you say and whatever you have hidden, Allah will judge you accordingly. He said, did you not complete the verse? فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah forgive whom He wants and torture whom He wants. The other companions around outside the door start crying and weeping. He said, did you not see what he said? Man yasha, what he want? I did not know if you forgive me. He said, what he want? He said, please forgive me of what I said. He said, but he did not say. He said, please forgive me of what came in my heart. He said, why did not make a confession? He said, I was afraid if I made a confession already the angel will write what I have on my chest. Because you remember the shift of angels? What is the time of the shift of angels between what time and what time? It's two shifts daily. After what and after what?
Fajr
and Asr. Look at these people. They afraid the day will be closed and something in their chest. Another man, he had a lot of booty, a lot of money came to him. He spent it all except $3. He spent it all, $1,000 except $3. And all night he cried. His wife didn't come to sleep. He said, how I sleep? And I have $3, I cannot spend it. I'm afraid that at night, and Allah will ask me, why you not spend the $3? Look at their iman and look at our iman. Look at their thinking and look at our thinking. And why, my brother and sister in Islam? Because we are selfish. We are so selfish to the point we become so blind. Selfish to the point we are selfish against ourselves. To the point I'm leading myself to the fire and I do not care. What more selfish than that? How I can be good to you when I'm selfish against myself? Today, we're supposed to talk about Surah Al-A'raf. And different verse from Surah Al-A'raf. Do you know the meaning of A'raf? Anybody know the meaning of A'raf? What's that? No. She said in between. No, this is like a status.
The highest.
The what?
The highest.
So the highest, no. You see, what you guys are talking about is not the meaning of A'raf. It is the action. Things will happen. A'raf coming from Urf. And Urf means the upper branch of the tree. The upper branches of the tree. This is where the word is coming from. The upper branches of the tree. And Arabic people say anything is high is A'raf. Related to the people. Who will not go to Jannah, will not go to Hellfire. There will be in a waiting list. There will be in a waiting list, in a waiting state. The waiting state of A'raf. Think about it. When you are on a waiting list, are you happy? Are you content? A scholar, the early scholar said, the tutshar of Allah to the people of A'raf is waiting. The tutshar of Allah to the people of A'raf is waiting. Because Allah, He will allow you to be in the upper area. In almost like in a war between hellfire and paradise. By this way, any given time you see hellfire. In any given time you see paradise and you do not know which one you belong to. You do not know which command will come and Allah will give you to one of them. Do you believe the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They do not even believe they will be among the Arab people. And look at us. Look at their action and they do not believe even they will be among the Arab people. And look at our action. Look at their manner and look at our manner. Look at their tongue and look at our tongue. Look at their heart and look at our heart. Believe me, honest to Allah, I say it. And this is a calamity in the Ummah. Today you find a lot of people say, I like to deal with a non-Muslim, but I do not like to deal with a Muslim. And it becomes a fitna. Big fitna. Why? Once you deal with a Muslim, he said, she said, he said, she said. and a lot of bas, a lot of envy, a lot of jealousy, a lot of hate, a lot of talk, a lot of backbiting, a lot of namima. You name it, we do it among each other. Why? And the non-Muslim, the one he's supposed to have it, they do not have it like us. And they give with a very straight ways. They do not have these meanings. Imagine a wife keep insulting her own husband with her love. Why? Why do we do that? And if I'm honest, and my husband is a piece of whatever, why not ask for divorce and finish it? Why do we not live with each other with ma'ruf? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, live together with ma'ruf, or leave each other with ma'ruf. What is ma'ruf? With contentment, with mercy, with goodness, with kindness, with generosity. Do you know what it means to really be saved in the day of judgment? Your manner, your tongue. I have to repeat this because from last night until today, my head is blowing. From all kind of mischief we do among each other, and all my tongue. Tongue and your relation. Don't ever forget it. Tongue and your relation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he went to Isra' al-Mi'raj, the majority of my ummah was tortured in the grave, not for the major sins, by two things. Two. Tongue, backbiting in the mirror, and urination. And believe me, they go hand to hand. I find the person who cannot make a stinger, he has this tongue like mashallah. And the person who are clean, he always clean, physically clean in his tongue. And the person who is dirty, physically, is dirty in his tongue. Take it from me. If you see one, is another. You always have both as a baggage. This word of Araf. And Surah Al-A'raf Makkiyah, 206 verse, except 6 or 8 verse according to the Fanul Qur'an, Madaniyah. Again, we don't go to any ahkam. We go to really read some of them and see the message there. But I hope, inshaAllah, every time we talk about an issue, ask yourself, who am I? Where am I? I'm in which group? Is me clean physically? Is me clean heartily? Is me clean with my tongue is clean? My soul is clean? I always think good? I'm a positive person? Because it's a quality of a Muslim. One of the diseases of this ummah I see, especially in our mother and father and grandparents, is you always bring in the negative first. Every time you see a person, he's such and such, he's such and such. And in fact, they already did a mischief. You do not know the person. Who are you to already make a decision and call him by name, and call him by a title, and call him by manner? Who are you? Please don't do that. And all of you are young lady, if you're spending a lot of time with your mother, the first one will destroy you with your own mother. Because you will learn all the sickness from her. You won't really be a winner. Or be a Salaheen, or be a Sunnah book, even any book. And study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is a quality of the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, study the wife of the companion, and try to think where am I among them. Please don't destroy yourself. And be honest and say, mommy, don't do that. Don't say that. It's your duty. And remind her in a nice way. And this is the benefit of knowledge. is not the benefit of God, mashallah, Brother Ahmed is a good talker. May Allah forgive Brother Ahmed. Because our Brother Ahmed is a good talker. Unless Brother Ahmed is a good doer, he will be in big trouble. May Allah forgive me. Sometimes I feel, Allah, I feel like I want to die much better. Because if people think I'm good, I'm in trouble. Because my life has to be equivalent to my talk, and I'm not good. I'm telling you in the front of Allah, I'm not good. I'm just a talker. May Allah make me a doer. Make me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make my tongue equal my heart equal my body. And you need dua for me for all my mistakes and all my weaknesses, because I'm not good. Surah Al-A'raf, we're going to go to verse 1 to 10. Anybody else from Quran? Or you didn't quite 1 to 10? And Surah Al-A'raf, like any Makki Surah, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca revealed the story of Messenger and Prophet? Why? To teach us what the calling for, what the people response, and what Allah done with them. And in the end, He give you a message. This message is for mankind until the day of judgment. And all the Makki Surah to build faith, to strengthen faith, to build the aqeedah, the faith, the fundamental belief is of a Muslim. You have a Quran, sister? You have? Can you read loud and clear from 1 to 10?
In the name of Allah, most benevolent, ever merciful. Alif, Lam, Mim, this book has been sent down to you, so do not hesitate to warn the unbelievers through it. And remind the faithful. Follow what has been revealed to you by your Lord, and do not follow any other Lord apart from Him. Yet little do you care to remember. Many a habitation have been laid low before. Our retribution came upon them in the night, or in the midst of siesta at noon. And when our punishment overtook them, they had nothing to say except crying out, "We have indeed been sinners." On the day of reckoning, we shall question the people to whom we have sent our apostles, if they followed their teaching, and will question the apostles. We shall recount their deeds to them with knowledge, for we were never absent and saw all they did. And the way will be just on that day. Then those whose deeds are heavier in the balance will find fulfillment. And those whose deeds are lighter in the scale shall perish for violating our signs. We settled you on the earth and provided means of livelihood for you in it, but little are the thanks you give.
In this 10 verse, believe it or not, a beautiful message. Because again, let me tell you and take it from me, any Quran Makki, once you read the first like 10, 15, whatever verse in the beginning, it will give you the pure message of Allah. And all of a sudden, it will change to starting stories, story after story. And in the end of every story will be a message. And in the end of the whole chapter will be the final message to mankind. Right? So if you read Makki Surah, you can learn all the wisdom Allah wants us to know. And imagine if me, a Muslim, I do not know the messages of Allah. This thing verse that I may be called reciting or give the meaning already has beautiful messages. Look how many messages we have. First message is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts Surah Al-An'am with Surah Al-A'raf, I'm sorry, with Alif Lam Mim Sad. And remember when you recite that this verse of letters is a big madda. And this madda is called 6 haraka or 4 haraka. Meaning I cannot say Alif Lam Mim Sad. No way. If you look carefully, Alif Lam Mim Sad. And how you do that when you recite Quran? Very simple. Before you recite, you do like this. You take a very deep breath and you hold it tight before you recite. This is how you recite. And if somebody teaches you to recitation, the first stage, how to control your breath and how to time it according to what you're reciting. By this way, and even if I have a microphone in front of me, what I do, I go like this, I take a deep breath, I hold it. Alif Lam Mim Sad. You see, I have plenty of air. I cannot just boom, let it go. And similar in the beginning of Quran Makki is a long verses. If you want to recite the maximum you can, you have to recite it by controlling your breath. You have to learn first how you control your breath and how you time it according to your citation. If somebody does not teach you that, forget it. It has to be taught. It's a certain time. Then somebody good has to teach you that. Which, with all respect to you, the majority of Pakistani Indians do not have it. You have to go to Egyptian, Syrian, whatever, they're very good. Whereas if you go and study recitation, and you study tafsir, you study iman and yaqeen, now when you lead people, and you make a mini salah, ya Allah, you're not going to make a public salah, you're going to make a really salah. Because you're going to live by yourself of what you recite. Huge difference. And otherwise, I can feel it. The person is reciting, but the person is not there. It's almost like standing in front of a teacher. And the salah is empty, because he's not doing it to Allah. He's not doing it to Allah. Because if you do it to Allah, you will never do what you're doing. Never. Never, never. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, Alif Lam Mim Sad, people make a lot of story about it. What does it mean? Only Allah knows. Some people say it's keys of goodness. It's a treasure. It has a meaning. It has a lot of secret meaning. It is an Arabic letter starting with the Quran because Quran revealed in Arabic. And it was a bare witness. Can I tell you something? It's all together, but we do not know. Because we have to go back and say Allah is Hakim. Allah is wise. Allah cannot start him. Surahs like that, just like that. Don't ever think for a moment it doesn't have a meaning or it doesn't have a value. You will be a sinner because you deny Allah wisdom. No way, no way, no way. And even if you see different surah is starting with different letters, it's not any things. But can we try to interpret it really? He will try. But we said Allah is wise, and we stop. It has to have a meaning. This meaning, some of you might know, some of you might not know. I'll give you an example, just a tiny example. Every surah talking about different topic. We know, for example, Surah Al-Tawbah, have you even noticed Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? It's starting very strong. Bara'atun min Allahi wa Rasulih. Bara'at. Completely denied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah is completely denied. And his messenger from the disbeliever. But look to Surah Maryam and Ala Imran. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا. Remember the mercy of Allah to his servant Zakaria. Do you see the difference? Can you feel it? Allah told me, do you remember the mercy of me to my slave Zachariah? The one who put me in a hidden corner, meaning he did not even say it with his tongue. He just mumbled it inside his heart. He just told me. When you see Maryam alayhi salam has all this bounty. By this way, do you think the beginning of Surah Maryam, like Surah Tawbah, like Surah Al-Baqarah, like Al-A'raf? No way. Allah is wise. Allah said He created and He perfected everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do anything just like that history. No way. History is a start of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything qaddarahu taqdeera. Allah He do taqdeer before He do anything. Everything is a complete, you know, like, what do you call it, taqdeer, judgment. And wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this book is revealed to you. By this way you have no anything in your chest. And a warrior to those who do not believe, وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You see the first message there? And a reminder to the believer. Not anybody. Not to the Muslim. To the believer. A reminder to the believer. You have to know, Quran is so unique. Every word in Quran has a meaning. When Allah said believer, believer. Muslim, Muslim. And every place has a meaning. And after that, automatically, look to the first message. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow and obey what has been revealed from your Lord. Do you remember what we said about Mecca in the Quran? Always what? Rab, not Ilah. Always Rab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing, He is Rab. And again, what does it mean Rab? He's a controller, He's a provider, He's a doer, He's a ruler, He's the master, we are the slave. He's everything. This is about Allah. He's the owner of everything. I do not own nothing. This meaning Lord, Rab. By this way, can it be Rab and at the time of marriage and divorce, at the time of divorce, I follow my culture? I follow my conviction, my desire. Today you have been witness. I dare to see a Muslim family in the time of marriage, they follow Quran and Sunnah. I bear witness until now, all my life I met only one. Only one. Only one family who has followed Quran and Sunnah in the time of marriage. Only one. I did not follow, I didn't see anybody else. Meaning the time they choose the husband or wife according to their piety. They choose a husband or wife according to their quality. And they marry for Allah. And they follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger in the time of the wedding. And the husband studies the manner of a husband. And the wife studies the manner of a wife. How many of us do that? Very basic. Just get a basic bunch of books about husband and wife. And study. What is your right? What's your obligation? What is your manner? You as a man, old and young. What about me now? I'm 55, I'm 60, I'm 90 years old. It doesn't matter. Learn. You have no excuse. At least you can go to your husband or go to your wife and say, forgive me. I never was a good husband or I never was a good wife. We have no excuse, you have no law. With all the money we spend, we cannot get a couple of books when we go to the other. Unbelievable. Or go to another person, excuse me. My daughter or my son is ready to get married. What are we supposed to do? What is the steps you advise us according to Quran and Sunnah? How many people do that? And how many people after they get the advice is willing to listen? This is another problem. They will take everything and they flush it and they go back to what they like. I know better. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You know who that says it? Shaitan. Shaitan. This is our culture. This is our habit. I'm from so and so country. My mother said so. My father said so. This is the way you grow up. You want me to change it the way it is? When you grow up, change, but I will not change it. You know who said that? The disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said about the disbeliever, if you ask him, why you not believe? He said, my mother was this way. My father was this way. You want me to change what my parents used to be? What's the difference? Tell me, what's the difference? We live in the ultimate ignorance, the same exactly like before Islam. In action. And we call ourselves Muslim. I do not understand it how. And if you look to the Quran, it's so unique. What Allah said, وَلَا تَتَّبَعُوا مِنِهِ أَوْلِيَا. Don't follow after that anybody else with Allah. But in here is awliya. Today, who's my wali? Can be my father, my mother. Wrong or right, it doesn't matter. And I forget, it's supposed to be my wali, it's Allah. Allah said, don't follow anybody after me. Don't they make them awliya. By this way, if at the time of marriage, or at the time of divorce, or at the time of any situation, I follow my mother, I follow my grandmother, I follow my aunt, is this moment I'm a mushrik or a Muslim? Huh? Mushrik or a Muslim? Mushrik! At this time is sure. Don't ever forget me. Old and young. Because today we are deep sure. Because when the power of any action comes, we follow our own desire. We follow our own custom and whatever. But we never say what Allah said. What Rasulullah advised us to do at this moment? What I should do? Do I do istikhara? Did I do salat al istikhara? Did I do salat al hajj? And after that, you cry the rest of your life over a bad marriage. Why? Because from the beginning he was what? Selfish. Selfish. And I promise you what Rasulullah said, any marriage is done with selfish, Allah will not increase it except poverty. Poverty. Always. And the poverty not in the money, the poverty in the heart. And after that, Allah ended the verse very briefly. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Only few people will remember. You see what Allah said? He said, this message is not for everybody. Only few people will remember what I'm saying. Meaning Allah, not me. And after that, right away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a warning. وَكَمْ لِلْقَرْيَةِ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا فَجَاءَهَا بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا أَوْ هُمْ قَائِلُونَ. How many villages? I sent a torture. In the middle of the night. Do you remember Turkey? Do you remember? Do you remember even Cairo? Do you know Cairo 10 years ago or less when they have 2 earthquakes? I have a doctor, a relative of mine. I call him and give him salam. I ask him, what happened the following day? He said, my brother Ahmed, the majority of people did not die from earthquake. The majority of people died from fear. A lot of them threw themselves out of the window. Why a Muslim fear is a point he threw himself out? A lot of them was pushing each other with sticks to the point they fall down with anything over each other. We see in Mecca and Medina. Why? Selfish. Greed. Think about yourself. Have you no iman? Do you see it or not? And what happened to us? Did we get the picture? No. Do you heard about the big, huge lake, I forget the name of it, in north of Turkey? Almost 5-7 years ago, it was completely dry near the Black Sea. Completely dry. What's that? Maybe you know it?
I'm not sure, but that's a sin.
Okay, I'm not sure. But anyway, and how many messages we had? How many volcanoes, earthquake, hurricane, flooding, rain, drought, hunger, killing? Is all this not the messages? What are being blind is not a message? What means the heart is far away from Allah is not a message? What about being oppressive to each other is not a message? What about having no manner between each other and Allah is not a message? All these messages, but what are we doing about it? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, with this heaven, all the name, O Allah, we are alive. This is what we're doing today. We all say, we are Adam. We are oppressor. We acknowledge it. We know. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلْنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلْنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ I will ask those who have been sent to them. And I ask the Mursaleen. What does it mean? A person like me in big trouble. The moment I talk to you, I'm in big trouble. Everybody talk, everybody conveys a message in big trouble. Because all of us is a witness to each other or a witness against each other. Meaning, if you listen to me and you did what you did in your life, Allah will call me the day judgment. Did you not tell them? Yes, Ya Allah, I tell them. You warned them? Yes, Allah, I warned them. You did them? Yes, Allah, I did them. They did not listen. I bear witness, I did my job. And we become witness to each other or against each other. And in the meantime, may Allah forgive me. If I'm a bad deeder, Allah will bring you and say, oh Allah, He used to teach you. He did it. If I said, no, I'm in big trouble. And now you become witness against me. All of us, Muslim and non-Muslim, we are witness to each other or witness against each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, I will tell them, it was my ultimate knowledge, وَمَا كُنَّا رَاقِبِينَ. Allah never raqib. Allah, He tells us, He never raqib. He never absent. Is Allah can be absent? Is Allah at any given time can be absent? Do you remember the story of Imam Shafi'i when he was like 7-8 years old and was learning by Scala? And he loved him so much and people, the student envy him. And he said, also so Scala, why you love him so much? Why you choose him over us? He said, tomorrow I give you the answer. And the following day, he came in the class with bunch of boxes full of chicken, live chicken. And he gave each one a knife. And he said, each one of you, take a chicken, take a knife, go slaughter it in a place nobody can see you. Everybody slaughters a chicken after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, and they come with a chicken slaughter. But Imam Shafi'i never showed up. Everybody waiting, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Almost close to us, Imam Shafi'i arrived. The knife in his hand and the chicken still alive. He said, why you not slaughter it? He said, you tell me to slaughter it in a place nobody can see me. And every place I go, I remember, nobody can see me, but Allah can see me. How I can slaughter it? He said to the student, he sees the difference between you and him. Conscious, and he was 7-8 years old. And today we have a pig. What I can call it? A dam, a donkey, a mule? It would be a slaughter to the donkey. A big meat for nothing. And the mother said, oh, look at my pig, he's a nice. And he has no conscience. His conscience is dead. He has no iman. He has no any manhood. He has nothing. And he's nice. Nice of what? Even if he gave it to me as a county if I was a president, he's not even good for nothing. Look at this kind of education and look at our education. Conscious. The conscious is number one. Is the roots of Iman. The root of Iman is conscious. Is this how we teach our children? To be conscious? To be aware? Allah is watching. Allah is in our absence. If I have this in my heart, I will never go to the bathroom and do what I'm doing. I will never go to my room and play like a chicken without head in the front of the computer or whatever. Because I'm always worried about what my mom said, my daddy said, and we run into work after our children. And we have no time even for ourselves. Why? Because I'm not teaching my children, I'm destroying them. When was the young Eden al Haq? The scheme at this day is the truth. Nobody can escape the scheme of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that he said, whoever his scheme is heavyweight, meaning with deed, he is a winner. And those who are a loser, they are the loser. And look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who have no scheme in the day of judgment, they are a loser. Of what? بِمَا كَانُ بِأَيَاتِنَا يَظْلِمُونَ. Because he was oppressor of our sign. Imagine today when we are Muslim and sit in the front of the TV and watch the news all over and do not do nothing. The heart is not moving, it's not changing my life. Is this not oppression? 2 years ago I was in Umrah, and 2 days before I leave for 1 week, they said according to Arabian, you have to go to the office and you have to confirm. And you're waiting. You're waiting for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, completely 1 day for confirmation. Unbelievable system. Sickness. And all the phone is busy. Instead of adding 2-3 extra people, we sell food and finish it. And I'm waiting. Nothing I can do. And I have next to me a mother with her daughter from Egypt. And the daughter is sitting with a lot of ache. And the mother did her, oh my daughter, why are you doing that? She said, you did not get me this dress, and you promised me to get me this dress. She said, I'm burning me for honor. And I promise you, yes, all these dresses. But you should focus on honor. The girl is not there. The girl only in the list she has in her hand. Which one the mother give her, which one the mother will not give her. You see, when we persuade our children to come to Umrah with a list, do you think this girl should ever give Umrah? No way. No way. And I'll be a loser. If I give the money to another person or anyone to Umrah and pray to Allah, it's much better than doing that. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. And we make you establish yourself in earth. And we give you all that provision. Little bit among you will thank me. Little bit among you will thank me. Little bit among you will thank me. Don't ever forget. One scholar wrote a book about only two words. Word shukr and word shukr. Shukr in Arabic meaning thanks to Allah. But it's not the way we say it. If you do thanks to Allah, it requires many things. Number one, your heart is content. Your heart is in happiness. Your face is happy. I see you always in a state of happiness, smiling. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can be in the ultimate calamity, but when I see you, you are happy. Unless your anger for Allah is different. And what else? Anybody ask you a question, I'll be in a state of thanks. Meaning, if I ask you any question, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise to Allah and thanks to Allah. But the scholar said something so beautiful. What's the difference between hamd and shukr? Anybody know? What's the difference between hamd and shukr? Allah is hamid Allah is Shakur. Allah does not repeat things that have meaning. Think before you talk. If you have an answer, think about it. What's the difference between shuk and hamd? Is repeating the Quran in many places. Anybody know?
Hamd is when you praise Allah Ta'ala first and then you thank Him. And shukr is for the thanking and let's be grateful.
Okay, he said thanks. Hamd is a state of the heart and praising Allah. And shukr?
Hamd is when you praise Him first and then you thank Him.
Okay, you praise Him first and you thank Him. Anybody else? Do you remember when you do tabbay and hajj? What do you say? لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. حمد. حمد is the highest. حمد is the highest. But حمد is a status of the heart. And it has to be joy or shukr. It has to be joy with shukr. And shukr has to be joy with action. You see how it goes? If you really thank Allah, it has to be joined with action. Meaning, I cannot tell you, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I have this problem. This is not hamd. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and I see hamd in your face, hamd in your body. What about shukr? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the David family, I said it before, all the family of David do shukr. Do shukr. By this way, the earliest time I said, shukr is a status of an action. Meaning, if you want to thank Allah, you praise Allah. You thank Allah. You thank Allah with your tongue. You thank Allah with promotion. You thank Allah with charity. You thank Allah with extra lift. You thank Allah with extra worship. All this is thanking to Allah. By this way, the sign of thanking Allah is bending for Allah. And here spending is not only a money spending. A money spending, a time spending, emotion spending, remember Allah's every aspect of spending. And Allah said, very small amount of people is thanking me. The thing is finished. Any question, any concern about what we said? Go ahead. What the time we start going?
The age.
Oh, the age? There's no age. You're not accountable to go to Hajj. Unless you reach your puberty, you have money, or your parents want to give it to you. But can I take my child, even if he's infant and very young, to a Hajj? There's no problem. It's almost like donating money and take your child, or donating money for your child. If you can, and if you have the means. For what? Do you think with your baby in a blessing area, you will not get something? You think if the baby drinking water sometimes? But you see, you do not do that and coming to mission. Do not do that and coming and give your kid a computer and an internet and everything else and game and sit in the front of TV and say, you did Umrah. You do not do Umrah and Hajj and you're coming back with all kinds of things. Because believe it or not, if you study Hajj and Umrah, you will think very, very, very much before you do it. If you meet me 20 years ago, I used to warn people to go to Hajj and Umrah. I used to warn people and people don't know. May Allah forgive me, but at the start I had no reason. I used to say to them, please make tawbah, clean your life, do a good deed, learn about Hajj and Umrah, and after that do. By this way, when you're coming, you do not come dirty yourself very quick. Why? If you study Umrah and Hajj, the bad deed after Umrah and Hajj is multiplied. The bad deed after, you see, any bad deed before Hajj is only one. Any bad deed after Hajj is multiplied by 100 to 100,000. Bad deed after Hajj is multiplied. Bad deed after Umrah is multiplied. It's not that, mashallah, I go clean myself and coming back with the intention to dirty myself. Making sense, not intentionally, is not a problem. But going to Umrah, going to Hajj, and coming back and not making any effort to clean yourself, you are in big, deep trouble. Big, huge trouble. I see people have a bar, and going to Hajj, and coming back still has a bar. A woman came to me in Arafat crying because her husband beat her up the night before. Imagine, he beat her up, physically beat her up, so severe the night before. I saw a woman in the haram in Mecca running after her husband with a slipper, and she beat him up in the haram. She beat him up in the haram. I saw it by my own eyes. I'm not telling a story from a movie. I'm telling what I saw. What about you? Think about yourself. You did Umrah, you did Hajj, and what happened to your life? It becomes a vacation. If your father or mother have money, oh, we go to Umrah. We come from Umrah. We go to Hajj, and we're coming from Hajj. And my life like nonsense. It's almost like we're going to Walt Disney. It's not Walt Disney, my brother. Ancestor. Hajj and Umrah. Do you know what this Hajj is? And you know what Umrah is? It's a tawbah. But there's a tawbah in the house of Allah. And even to do that, you have to intend before you leave here to are doing tawbah. I cannot go to Hajj and Umrah and already intend to stay in my own sins. I can't. I intend to clean up, and I know that if I fall down again, it's different. But I do not be dirty, go dirty, come in dirty, and say, mashallah, I did Hajj and Umrah. Did I check if Allah accept Umrah? I said it in my tapes. Is a hadith tell you the meaning of Hajj? Meaning, if Allah accepts your Hajj, how will you do? Does anybody know? Go ahead.
If after the Hajj is known, we know that if your Hajj is accepted, that after you come back, that you try to do good deeds, and that you, like, you're affected from the Hajj. Like, you try to do, you don't try.
It's two words, believe it or not. The hadith was two words. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajj al-Mabrura, laysa laha jaza illa al-Jannah. The accepted Hajj, it has no reward except Jannah. A man get up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا بِرُّهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the acceptance Hajj? How we know? You know what he said? Two words. لِيمُ الْكَلَامُ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ. لِيمُ الْكَلَامُ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامُ. Meaning your voice, your tongue will be sweet, and your head will be generous, and you start feeding people. You heard that? And also another report, وَالْإِقْبَالُ عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَالزُّهْدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And you will be, your heart connected to the hereafter, and you become zahid, you don't care about this life. This is a sign of the Hajj. I've been witness, I see Hajji, before they leave Mecca, they fight with each other. For what? For a luggage, for a seat, for a meal, for a piece of meat. And rich people, very rich, supposed to be, is not rich, they're very poor. To lose your hajj for something like that? Or on the plane, you argue with the stewards, for what? Even if she make a mistake, why are you losing your hajj? A hajj have a manner, because you deal with Allah, you're not dealing with anybody. You should be very humble. You should be like a beggar and scared to die. Because you are now, hopefully, inshallah, you are clean and you don't want dirt in yourself. This hajj and this umrah. But today, may Allah forgive us. I see everything like taraweeh, like everything else. It's a ritual. Ritual. We pray and we go to the golden places and we spend all kind of power arguing about the prices. I do not understand it. Here you are in the front of the Haram al-Madani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam place, and you want to write the book. It's a sign of the new judgment. Look at the stores around Haram al-Madani. There's only 20 stores. And only 24 hours, most of them. And you find people in the front of them, more than inside. And we said, we love you, Ya Rasulullah. I do not understand. If you love Rasulullah, how come you have money? And you have gold, and instead of spending it for Allah, you spend it on your own stupid things. And your own sickness. I meet a French group. French, not Arabic, not Pakistani, not Indian. French. French. French Muslim. Do you know what he did? The sheikh, who is the leader of his group, he's a teacher of them. He made them work so hard all year. And they donated a couple of months from Allah. And all their savings, they bring it with them. All their savings, they get together, all the savings in one box. And they bring the savings in 2 months' time. And they go to the suburb of Medina, and they have very poor houses, and they start cleaning the houses, developing the houses, renovating the houses, take care about one house at a time, until the money and the time is left. That's when they take care about the houses, they feed the people, they teach them Arabic and Quran, French people. In Medina, they're supposed to be coming, and Arabic people teach you them. This is Islam. This is Islam. Not what we're doing. We go with all our aiming, the amount of gold, the amount of stuff we have, and 80% of our time in the market. There's a sign of the day of judgment. Be careful. Do you know every sins in Medina and Mecca is multiplied by hundreds of thousands? Yes. The way that good deeds multiply, the bad deeds multiply for more. One scholar said even multiplied to cursing, meaning Allah can curse a person. To what this scholar explained, he said, it's almost like Allah telling you. He said, all my servant, you do not like to finish all the good deeds all over. You come and do it in your own house? Imagine you go to the house of the king and you want to rob the king. You're done. This is what we're doing. At least in the time of Mecca and Medina, show good manner between you and Allah. Allah give you mercy. And this is what the whole thing is all about. I do not go to Mecca and Medina and make mischief. Now go to 23, verse 23. Let me go a little bit quick now.
You get it? Go ahead.
They said, O our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we shall certainly be lost.
This is a dua of Adam alayhi salam. Now, why Allah adds the dua of Adam in the Quran? Anybody know? Yes.
He made mistakes, so Allah taught him how to ask for forgiveness.
Exactly. And also something else very important. Right hand, when you drink and eat, right hand. 99% of the Muslim, even Mecca and Medina, eating right and left. The conscious is not there. If you eat and drink with the left hand, you know what happened to you? Your shaitan become more stronger than you. Because now you join in shaitan in what you're doing. If you enter in the house without saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, shaitan is with you. And if you enter your house and you say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, shaitan has to be out. If you put your clothes on with the right hand and say Bismillah, shaitan cannot share with you that clothing. If you forget, shaitan is with you. Your own shaitan. And when you take your clothes off, you take it with the left. When you put your shoes on, you see, when I see people, I know exactly who you are. I know if you have conscious or not. I know if you have sunnah or not. I don't care what kind of scholar you are. Because if you do not follow the sunnah in the basic thing, how do you follow it in the big things? If you have no conscious in the basic, how do you protect yourself from the big? Don't eat until you say Bismillah. Don't drink except what is right. Don't eat except what is right. And try to do it sitting, not standing. For you mean, don't urinate standing is a big hard rule. You urinate sitting. And learn how to urinate. How to clean yourself. It's called sunnah. The dua is here for all of us mankind. By this way, the first mankind who made sin on earth is Abu Lahab. And Allah teach us. Make the dua. Say the truth. Say Allah, if you do not forgive me and forgive my sins and give me mercy, I will be among those who lost. This is a beautiful dua always said in any time. Always, always recite it and say it and repeat it. Now after that, automatically, we hear what Allah said. قَالَ اَحْبِطُوا بَعْضَكُمْ لَبَعْضًا عَدُوٌ. Go down to the earth, both of you, as an enemy of each other. Because we have not done us from the beginning. We are enemy of each other. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. And you have a time and residence in earth and enjoyment until heen, until the time, which is the time of death and the time of their judgment. And after that, if you follow it until verse 27, write it down. You follow it until 27 or even 28. Okay, this will give you what the advice of Allah. Do you see it or no? And if you go to Surah An-Nahl, the bees, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the same verse, identical, similar. Similar and identical to here, but he had something. Anybody remember? He said, go to the earth and wait for my guidance. Whoever received my guidance, you will be a winner and successful. And whoever did not receive my guidance, he will be a loser. Do you see verse 28? Read 28 very carefully. 28, because this is what we started our session with. This is what happened to us. Every time we do mischief together like each other, what we say? Oh, our parents used to do that. I saw my mother used to do that. I saw my father used to do that. Why do you do that? Allah said, why do you do that? Is Allah commanding you to do that? Don't say that. And don't say a lie over Allah. Are you a witness? May Allah forgive our parents and our mother, our grandparents, and our grandmother, because they do mischief and they lie against Allah. When they start, when you need to let them start, and tell them follow Allah and Rasul, they said, this is our parents. What do you want me to do? We have to do that. Allah said in the Quran, no action we do in this life, you will not find a Quran or Hadith tell us exactly what we do. Do you see it or no? And even if you follow it, okay? If you really follow it until like 31, 32, 34, read 35. Do you see it or no? And if you follow again until verse 37, it would be similar. Now, let's jump to 58. Something we just spoke about today, two or three times. Go ahead.
It says in a way that if you're maybe good parents and have a good home,
maybe
good.
That's it. You know what I mean? Who I marry? Who is my husband? What is his roots? Who's my wife? What is her roots? Because there's a soil. There's a soil. And after that, we look at our head and say, oh, wrong number. Why? Because our own soil. And nothing you can do except make istighfar and make tawbah and just cry to Allah. And believe me, once you understand Islam, you can look at your kids and know exactly what's going on. Some look at you, some look like the father, some look like the grandparents. And after that, ask yourself, what does my father have? What does my mother have? Are they pious people? They generous? They have quality? Between each message, you can know exactly what Allah gave me. You can hear the advices. Please, my brother and sister in Islam, don't do the mischief of our parents. Don't look for your husband or your kids to marry somebody because he's a big shot or he has money or status. Look for piety. Look for good root of family. And be honest. And if your daughter or your son is not good, don't give them to somebody's good. And to create them for them, say the truth. My son is not good. Say the truth. At least you be just. Don't try to decorate them with what it is you do not have. Don't do that. Either you try to let them have it or no. And honest to Allah, you should be starting crying. And between you and Allah, make them good. And send them good people, ya Allah. And if somebody good you see from coming to you, you should accept. Not according to anything except piety and good manner and good seed. I call it the door. The turba, the door. Because today we pay the price of our need, stingy and selfishness. Because when we marry, we do not worry about the door. We worry about how much he has, where he will take me. If he gives me a green card, this is what we worry about, and we destroy our nations. Go to 87. You see the messages is clear for everybody? Now, if I'm a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter and Allah give me guidance, can I ask everyone to be guided at the same time? No way. No way. If Allah opened for me, doesn't mean my husband will be like me, or my wife will be like me, or my kids will be like me. Don't do that. Guidance from Allah. Allah chose whom He wants. What Allah wants from me? Do you hear what Allah said? Be patient. Be patient. And believe in Allah. Because today, either we push everybody or totally rejected us. And we become hated by our members of the family. Or we neglecting them completely. You cannot neglect and you cannot push. You have to hasan the role model. You have to be generous. You have to be kind. You have to be patient. You have to serve the role model. Don't ever forget me. You won't want anybody to understand. You have to have the manner first. You have to have the manner first. Please don't forget me. Don't push. And don't be busy with others. What about my daughter? She's going astray. Nothing you can do. You can advise her, that's it. You can make her laugh, you can cry. You can do good deed for her. It's not from her all the luxury. Do not keep calling baby baby. We destroy our ummah by big babies. Amen.
We shall only be guilty of the blaspheming God if we accept your way. Having been delivered from it by Him, we cannot come back to your creed unless God, our Lord, should please. Encompassed within the knowledge of our Lord is everything, and in God alone do we place our trust. O Lord, adjudge between us and our people equitably. You are the best
agitator. This end of this verse, it has a dua. I promise you, this dua, one of the most powerful dua in the Quran. Allahumma iftah baynana wa bayna qawmina bilhaq wa anta khayrul fatihin. But don't make this dua with set intention, meaning I have a husband problem, I have a wife problem, I have a kids problem, I have family problem, I have a neighbor problem, I have any problem. Make this dua, but do not set what you want. Leave it completely open. How he opened, when he opened, where he opened, this is in the hand of Allah. I want my so and so, my mom tell me no, my father tell me no, the family refuse, make them right. But not with the intention liking or disliking. With the intention of Allah choose for me and open for me. Don't ever forget it. Write it down. Is a beautiful dua. But look at the further dua that Allah said. Allah is it. He knows everything. He knows everything. Imagine if I believe Allah knows everything. Can I worry? Tell me, can I worry? Believe me, today when some Muslims are with you, I'm scared. Because the way they talk, they can send the curse of Allah on them. Because if I believe Allah is a knower, Allah He knows all, Allah He knows the future, the past, and all that, the unseen, the seen. And when something happens, oh, do you know this? This will happen, this will. And you start having all kinds of situation, you don't even know. Who should direct on the situation? Shaitan in your mind. Don't buy so and so, he will do this to you, and this will happen, and this will happen. Don't go to this country, it will happen. Who did you all this will happen? Did you shake the unseen? Did you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah sending you a telegram telling you exactly what will happen in the future? Why do you do that? This I call it the ultimate poverty. I call it the ultimate poverty when you have no faith in Allah. When you have no tawakkul, when you have no trust. And this is what Allah said in the first part. عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا Only on Allah we rely. And after that, after you do tawakkul, now you make the dua. Do you see it or no? But which means the dua work only for whom? You worry about the clock. Are you watching it, Dave? Okay, if you're really with me, you think you worry about the clock? No. If you're not connected to what we hear or what we're talking about, you really worry about the clock? You are a big president and you want to miss a big meeting? Or is the show finished? Don't do that. When you sit down in halaqa, connect your heart to Allah, don't worry about watch. Actually, if you understand where you are, you should ask Allah, Allah, take me now. Because after this moment, your life will not be the same. Is anybody can tell me, can you have a better environment more than now? No. And worry about the clock finished? No. I say to Allah, stop it. The clock. Give me blessing in this time. Let my heart connect it to you, Ya Allah. If you do not like this, then worry about it. Leave. I'm serious, please, anybody here, you do not want to sit down and leave. It's much better for all of us. Something in the beginning of this verse, I hope everybody gets it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me and give me a piece of guidance, I should worry about it. I should save it, I should guard it, and say what Allah said. قَدْ افْتَرَيْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ كَلِمَةِ إِنْهَدْنَا فِي مِلَّتِكُمْ We would be a liar if we go back to where we're coming from. Do you see? We would be a liar. Do you hear that? We would be a liar. Allah said it not me. If we go back. I meet a lot of people today. They get the message, they understand it, they comprehend it, they believe it, mashallah, and the further moment, they go back exactly what they do. What it means? Allah said it. They are a liar. And they bear witness themselves to be a liar. Because if you're honest, you will never go back like that. If you're honest, Allah will snatch you, Allah will support you, Allah will open for you. But only if you're honest. Because the opposite is a lie. Number 94. Do you hear that? We said it before in Surah Al-An'am. Do you remember? Do you remember the message in Surah Al-An'am is repeated again, exactly the same. By this way, if you look at us, what Allah wants from us now? Only one job. What is it? Huh? Submit! This is all we need. Submit! Let's go back to Allah. Unless we go back to Allah, we're not going anywhere. Go to the Congress, go to the White House, go to everything. Unless you go to Allah and submit, you're not going anywhere. Because if you believe anybody can do anything for you except Allah, you are deserved. And even if you do action, you should do action with the status, oh Allah, open for us. Show me today a community, an action, before they do any action. They said, let's before doing the demonstration, let's wait for the Quran of Allah. Let's go to Allah and ask Him to support us. Let's go to Allah and ask Him to give us guidance and support. Show me group. I'm talking about Muslims. Show me one. Show me one even before the night they go. They said, let's make a tikaf, let's have a night for Allah, support Him to really engage our heart with Allah, to maybe tomorrow Allah will give to us. Show me one. Now, if you follow that, if you follow 59, go to 59 until almost 100. Go.
Can they remain secure against the plan of God? Only they feel secure against the plan of God who are certain of being ruined. Do not the people who inherited the earth from the earlier inhabitants perceive that we couldn't afflict them too far their sins as we please, and put their seal on their heart that they may not hear the voice of truth?
Are you finished?
Yeah.
MashaAllah, you're very quick. Now, do you hear the message? Is this related to us or not? Tell me. From 95 to 100, write it down and read it slowly and tell me. Is this reflecting on us exactly or not?
I think
it's
99.
It's okay. You can go ahead. Sure. Okay, what do you do?
Just 99 to 100.
SubhanAllah, okay, 95. 95 from the rest.
But when we changed hardship to ease and they rose and prospered, they forgot our favors and said, our ancestors had also known suffering and joy, so we caught them unawares. But if the people of these regions had believed and feared God, we would surely have showered on them blessings of the heavens and the earth, but they only denied, and we punished them for their deeds. Are the people of the region so secure that they lie asleep unaware as our punishment overtakes them? Or are the people of the town so unafraid that even when our retribution comes upon them in the hours of the morning, they remain engrossed in sport and flight?
If you read the following two verses, it would be very scary. Read the following two verses.
Can they remain secure against the plans of God? Only they feel secure against the plan of God who are certain of being ruined. Do not the people who inherited the earth from the earlier inhabitants perceive that we could afflict them too for their sins if we please, and put seals on their hearts that they may not hear the voice of truth?
What do you think, all of you, about this message? Tell me, what do you think about this message? Anybody has a comment about this message? What we learn from this message is not exactly what happened to us, What left? You see, today we misunderstand what ultimate torture of Allah more than we are blind and we become paralyzed. We cannot change ourselves, we cannot change others. This is a torture from Allah. Okay, if I want to change all that, what I do? Very basic. Go back and surrender to Allah. Allah will change. But you will never be able to do that unless you believe. Because if you do not believe, the condition will make you fear. But if you believe, the condition will not make you worry at all. No condition should make you worry. None. A believer condition will not make you worry. Please, do yourself a favor today. These verses, read it between you and Allah. And ask yourself today where am I? Please, can we do that inshallah? Okay. And inshallah, any question, any concern? Go ahead, young lady. I cannot hear you.
Okay. I heard that when
get up.
I heard that when we all die, it was like a strange cross in heaven. Like,
so do you get?
I heard when we all die, it was like a strange cross in heaven.
Yeah.
And it's like skin and skin and hair. Like, what else is there about that skin?
Okay, I heard only the first part.
Okay. I heard that
a what mini string?
A bridge.
Oh, it's a bridge! Okay.
And what
would help us get across? What will help us to cross the bridge? The bridge is a sirat. How do you get past? Okay, go ahead.
With the light that you have, because it's supposed to be very dark. So the light that you have, like say you need blue, like that.
Okay, but you do your explanation. You talk about the light. Why Allah give you light? Why Allah give you light? And what why Allah will snatch the light from you? You go to detail. This here may be very simple. Sirat, you will never pass it unless Allah give you afu. Afu meaning Allah give you the ultimate forgiveness. What is an easy way to cross the sirat? Forgive other people. Number one, forgive others. Deal with others with manner. Be generous and kind. Cry to Allah when you're alone. This will save you in the sirat. Okay? We can talk about it when the time comes. Any question, any concern? No question is dangerous. Very dangerous. Meaning everybody, mashallah, if I put down examination of what we say, everybody will pass? Okay, go ahead.
My question is, how we can deal with today's situation?
Say it again.
How we should deal with today's situation, like in the world?
Yeah. She asked a very simple question. I'm going down the highway, traveling, and I come to Salah, I want to make Salah on time, okay, and I came to a restaurant and I want to make wudu, and a bunch of people behind me, cursing me because I'm washing my feet. I tell you something. Today we have to use wisdom. Wisdom and patience. Why you cannot wait for a few minutes? And if the bathroom is crowded, go get the bottle. Or travel with the bottle. Go to the bathroom, get the bottle, fill it up with water, go to the bathroom, do what you have to do in the bathroom, wash your hand, come out of the bathroom, go inside of the car, make wudu. Do you know if you make wudu according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the amount of water you need. This is the amount of water you need completely for wudu. Three like this to give you a whistle. But today you open and shh. You're laughing. If you lose an amount of water we have used and how Allah will question about it, you will be crying. You will be crying of all the water we have used. Even if it's a public place, even if it's a running river. By this way today, use wisdom, sister. And also don't forget, you are a female. If you raise your feet towards the sink and you do not have a fence and you are scared, you are in big trouble. Even if another woman around you, no one should see your legs. Oh, you have pants. Alhamdulillah, you have pants. But anyway, use wisdom. Either you be patient, because we have to understand today, they do not know what's happening to us. They do not know us. The ignorant of Islam. We never show them Islam. We never show them kindness and generosity. Then you go on the highway, and you have extra soda, extra juice, extra fruit, to when you sit in the rest area, you invite your brother and give them food and fruit. You see? If every Muslim traveling in the highway, giving others, people, extra soda, ice cream, soda, whatever, this by itself would make that leave. It makes unity of the heart. It's a part of our faith. Because we have to bear the medium. How to bear the medium? By our manner. Especially if somebody like me or somebody like you. Go ahead. Yeah.
How do we explain to young Muslims and non-Muslims how that is interpreted in our
Okay, believe me, I'm not skipping your question, but it's 1:05, and I love to control my time. This I cannot answer you in 2-3 minutes. Remind me in the morning, or remind me in a time frame where I can really address it, because it might take 10-15 minutes. Okay? But put it this way. All of us criminal one way or another, in different ways. You want really be a winner? Build your faith, build your manner, do good deeds the maximum you can. That's it. And please, I will give you one more. All what we talk about today, I will have some questions for you to know about. But different kind of question. Go ahead. You want another question? Go ahead. Go ahead. But now they're clear. Go on. I'm talking to you, you're talking.
Before you said that we should make your food to some of our stuff, we should make your food to other people, but in today's society, you come up with that food to other people, I guess.
Okay, you see what happened is your manner and your conduct. You see, even if I come to you and I give you something nice and you refuse, I don't care. I did my job between you and Allah. If we worry, you see, as a Muslim, let me teach you something for Allah. Allah will give you according to your manner. You see how I look like? Do you think all over is Bin Laden, Bin Laden, Bin Laden? Okay? You do not know what I go through some time. But I believe in Allah. You do not know also how many people respect me so highly. You know what? Allah has a formula. You have dignity in your heart to Allah, Allah give you dignity. Do you know September 11 where I was? September 9, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. In a hotel. September 10, I went there. September 11, when it happened, it was the time for me to leave. I go to the mission, and everybody told me, please don't leave, because I'm coming with a car. Do you think I would go now shave my beard, put Yankee on, and put jeans, or put a bathing suit and ready to go to surfing? This is what we're ready to do. The majority of Muslims in Jacksonville, number one, the masjid was closed, like the rest of the masjid. The imam ran away. The people is confused. Even a man, I love him dirty. He always make the hajj all night. He have a blue suits. He always was in there, always had blue suits. Where he get it from? Whatever, I do not know. And everybody told me, don't go to New York. If I had a doubt in a moment, I would be finished. Do you know what I was having? I was very happy. Because if somebody beat me at this moment and die, I'm winning. You see, we have to be ready to sacrifice for Allah. And we have to be ready to know for a fact Allah will give us dignity. I came and I have even halaqa in a masjid like that in South Jersey. And may Allah forgive the Muslims there who loved me so dearly for years. I know them very much. And none of them even invited me to sleep over. And the door turnpike is closed. All the bridges are closed. And at this time I have my wife with me. I tell her, listen, even if we sleep in the street, if we get beat up tonight, no problem. But we will keep going and I will never ask anybody. And none of them even asked me, please don't go, stay over. Because New York was closed. But look what Allah did. After Salatul Isha, after I finish my halaqa, I make dua to Allah and say, Allah, don't disgrace me and don't let anybody, I see any help from them. And I left quietly. And once I left quietly, I went to the news and wonder what happened. Turn by just open now. And George Washington Bridge, they opened to me. The same evening I'm going. Only 15 minutes before I arrive in Europe. Who do that? Allah. You have Allah. You have Allahu Akbar in your heart. Allah will give you dignity. You see, you have Allahu Akbar. Allah make you dignified. You disgrace Allah and you have a fear from everybody except Allah, Allah will disgrace you. This is a formula don't ever forget. And this was meaning, La ilaha illallah. This was the whole meaning of Quran Makki. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب اللهم اجعلنا نعيش على الله أكبر اللهم اجعلنا نعيش على الله أكبر اللهم اجعلنا نعيش على الله أكبر اللهم أعزنا بالإسلام وأعز الإسلام بنا Oh Allah give us dignity with Islam and give Islam dignity with us يا الله Oh Allah elevate us and don't disgrace us يا الله Oh Allah you make us strong يا الله Give us strength in our heart. Give us light and wisdom, Ya Allah. Give us the right knowledge, Ya Allah. Make us only belong to You, Ya Allah. Make our love only belong to You, Ya Allah. Make all of us belong only to You, Ya Allah. And make us invited to You, Ya Allah. And don't make us to return back to our dunya life, Ya Allah. And make us die with the pleasure of You, Ya Allah. Make us resurrected in the pleasure of You, Ya Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and be barakah at our meeting with Hussein. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم التمين.